I'm Tim Capper, and I'm the new PR director for the Orlando Predators, and this is AFL Tonight, ArenaFan.com's weekly look into everything arena football. Well, I think you put it perfectly when you emailed me earlier today, Adam. I think the best way, you said, of all the games that we had, you know, there are only four games. We're still trying to find out what happened to the other, you know, when it came to the scheduling and what the league is doing with this, but you said it perfectly. Great games, Mazel Tov.
That's about right. It's the first week where I can remember where we actually had a couple days with some pretty damn good football. That's something that we haven't seen a lot of. Well, we're not necessarily say damn good football. At least we had some competitive football. And some games that are a lot more, you know, reminiscent of the AFL that we all remember that seemed to come down to the last possession quite often.
Exactly. Now I didn't speak to you a lot since the games occurred, but quickly, what was your take on Ryan Vina starting for the Philadelphia Soul this week?
Well, aside from the fact that the decision was supposedly made in the middle of the week and nobody knew about it until that point, it's clearly a situation where Coach Howe was pretty fed up. You know, he went a half a football against Milwaukee without an offensive touchdown, and that wasn't even, you know, it wasn't exactly a good Milwaukee team that Philly was playing against 2 weeks ago. I don't know why the decision to go with Ryan Vaina now. I'll say this, for a half a football, he looked really damn good. For a half a football, he looked really not so good. But you know, it's... Coach O has to be wondering whether these two quarterbacks, when you know, Jaws comes out and makes this comment of we don't have one starting quarterback, we have two starting quarterbacks. Well, maybe they have no starting quarterback, and that might be what they're finding out in Philly right now.
Maybe like a lot of the teams across the league, and just that also, but not having any starting quarterbacks at all. By the way, if I had the ability to bring back the comment that you made last week specifically about this game. I know you mentioned that Donovan Morgan would score the first touchdown in this game. If only you had said he was going to score the first touchdown of the second half and all the touchdowns in the second half for the Soul, you would have been dead on.
Well, little did I know that Ryan Vaina was going to take the first run of the game 32 yards and run over half the team.
You would have thought. I was like, what?
I'm very sure he was looking for Donovan Morgan on that play.
I was like, what is going on? I will admit, even though it was a smaller venue, the game on Arena Football Friday didn't look half bad crowd wise in Georgia. The only thing that really ticked me off, and that was mentioned by a couple of other fans in Arena Fan Nation also, is when is the Georgia Force going to put some distinguishing markings in the end zone? Right now it's just black as the ace of spades. So it seems sort of, oh wait a minute, Bush League to me. I mean, I understand it's a minor thing, but come on. I mean, it can't be as bad as some of the other alphabet leagues that leave the other team names, you know, that they buy the carpeting from, leave the other team names.
Because the Tallahassee Titans, well, for the one year they existed in the AIFA, were playing on a field that you could visibly see Predators in the end zone?
Exactly.
And their mascot had a striking resemblance to the old-school Tampa Bay mascot, Storm Man.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, they had Storm Man as their mascot. Storm Man, who also mysteriously looked a lot like Columbus Destroyer's mascot.
That's hilarious. I did not actually know about that.
Yep.
I think the Force, didn't they sell, they sold their old carpeting to, which I would imagine if that was new, their carpeting to another team that was called the Force. I don't remember, I think it's Greenville Force or something like that in one of the other alphabet leagues, but they themselves, like you said, have not changed. Obviously, they don't have to change the end zone. But, I don't know, maybe I'm just making something out of nothing. I understand, CFL, more likely than not, you're going to have ads in the end zone and stuff like that, but, and the AFL, as long as New Orleans finally changed, or they had the old arena football. Did you know that? They had the old arena football turf.
Yeah, I remember the old arena football turf.
They had that turf, and when they placed it down specifically for their preseason game, it still said arena football.
The revolving arena bowl turf?
Yes.
I remember. I remember specifically the Grand Rapids Arena Bowl and the in 2001, and the Arena Bowl in Orlando in 2000 had that turf.
And I'm glad at least when they started going to the neutral site, at least they started either taking both teams' end zones. I know they did it for the San Jose Arizona Arena Bowl.
That wasn't neutral site.
I think
they did it that way in the Tampa Bay Arizona Arena Bowl 2, if memory serves me.
Yeah. So I mean, maybe I'm just making something out of nothing, but the other games, I will admit, I was quite impressed. I don't understand though, with Georgia winning, a great ending. Nonetheless, I mean, it was a great ending down to the end. The only real blowout, and you called this right, by the way, was Utah getting totally shellacked by San Jose. What about what happened? I guess Brad Banks is not the ultimate quarterback that we thought he was in Iowa with Kansas City Command, J.J. Rattering. What?
Well, you know, Kansas City... I think Kansas City is good enough to maybe hang around in competition for a playoff spot this year. You know, this was his first home game. It's really, really hard to win games on the road in this league. Iowa is another one of these serviceable teams that may compete for the last playoff spot, might not. You know, look, Brad Banks had one amazing game, one pretty good game, and two not-so-great games. You're seeing, of course, there's a lot of teams that would love to say they had that right now, but, you know, you're seeing what the problem is. Iowa, from the day that it came back, it didn't have a quarterback. I'm still not so sure they have a quarterback. Brad Banks is a lot better than a guy who throws 3 picks in a game, but he's not a guy who's going to throw 11, 10 touchdowns in a game either.
The same thing with running. You know, Vina in Iowa was just like he did this week. He was a runner, and he was a multiple threat, I guess we could say, when he wasn't throwing picks.
We use that term running very loosely.
Yeah, I know. Rumbling. How about rumbling? I mean,
that's a lot better.
Yeah, he didn't throw it. You know, he didn't join the John Dutton club when it came to interceptions, but still, he was still a half decent quarterback. And I guess let's see what's going to happen this week for Philly, who is having their home opener. But we'll get
about
to
time.
That. Yeah, I know. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a few. Also. We're talking about quarterbacks having issues with quarterbacks. This week seemed to be the week of a fullback. You have two fullbacks in the league this past week who, didn't they ran for four? I think it's, they each ran for four touchdowns each? I'm trying to check the stats real quick.
Derek Ross had four for Dallas, but when you have a quarterback who can't find anybody at any point, sometimes I guess you need to utilize your fullback. And without looking, I think the guy in San Jose did it too.
Chad Cook did have four.
Yeah.
Now, with Dallas and their quarterback situation, maybe it was because of him getting hurt. I know he had a tackle low on the ankle or on the knee or something like that during the game. You could tell he was visibly in pain.
This has been a problem for Radaball all season, though. I mean, the guy's only got 16 touchdown passes. He's got 8 picks.
Yeah.
He's got 8 picks already.
Yeah.
You should not have 8 picks this early in the season.
That's John Dutton numbers right there.
That is very John Dutton-esque.
Now it's going to become the Royal Ball interception club.
Forget that. I'm sure by the end of the year that will change hands a lot of times.
is it just a change? You have Rue in Pittsburgh, who is a pretty good running back, a pretty good fullback. He's been those are really the only real consistent ones that I've seen, I think, so far this year. That the one in Dallas, one in San Jose, one in Pittsburgh that have been really pushing it. But
and all three of those teams have in common the fact that they have no quarterbacks.
We've been talking about it for so much, we might as well go ahead and get to it now. One team that we haven't mentioned, though, that is also in that club is the Tampa Bay Storm, but you look at Pittsburgh, they are in some trouble. As far as I know, as of today, they only have one starting quarterback on their roster. And they got Jacksonville coming into town this week.
Now, they did. They signed Xavier Lee, I think it was today.
Okay. Okay, I was wondering. Okay. So at least they have two on their roster. They have,
yeah, well, one guy who's been playing wide receiver for the last couple seasons. And a guy who probably never should have been a starting quarterback at Penn State, let alone here.
You know, you see the weirdest things in how somebody's stats can be, do I dare say the word exaggerated in college ball and NCAA ball, yeah, at least Division One.
Well, yeah, I mean, to an extent. I mean, Anthony Morelli was never a good quarterback at Penn State.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing that Pittsburgh has that Tampa Bay doesn't, Pittsburgh's got a quarterback that's getting healthy eventually.
That's true.
Pittsburgh has something to look forward to. Tampa Bay has nothing to look forward to.
McCabe comes off, though. Is it in 2 weeks or one? I'm trying to remember.
Morris should be coming off
Morris. McCabe was put on IR.
Right. I guess we should say eligible to come off. I don't know whether he's actually really ready to come back yet or not.
Okay. They had to score. They have another home game. They have to do something in Pittsburgh. You know, he had to throw more than 22 points. You know,
it's probably not going
to
happen.
It's going to be tough. I know. Especially with soon to be. And you know what? I don't think it'll happen. But wouldn't it be one hell? I know you mentioned you projected that Aaron Garcia would break the record at the Sharks' next home game. But would it be something to break the league record for touchdowns in a game and to break the league, to break 1,000 passing touchdowns in a career? I don't think it'll happen. But
if Les Moss lets it happen, either his defense has a lot of explaining to do, or he should probably be shot between the eyes.
Yeah.
Because if Aaron Garcia is in this game long enough to throw that many touchdowns, that means that Jacksonville has given up way too many points to a team that should not be scoring that many.
And it's not that Coach Siegfried's D in Pittsburgh is all that bad, but it's just that we've seen it. It can happen from game to game where you are just going to get torched, and it's possible this could be one of those games where poor Pittsburgh can just, you know, they started off so well, but I don't know.
Well, did they really start off that well? They beat a Philly team that's 1-3 now.
Yeah, but I mean, the amount of points they scored, and it's true that, I know, it's very misleading for the Power, but it's, I feel bad for them. I mean, the return for one of the original cities in the Arena Football League, to be going through, you know, you're going to go through this, obviously, but we've seen expansion teams, now mind you, Dallas Texans, yeah, they were an expansion team and made it to the Arena Bowl, but I don't know. But looking at other teams now, what the hell is happening in Tampa? Now, obviously, no news has come across the wire about what happened with their open tryout. At least I've heard, but
very little happened with their open tryout. They did have, I think I heard the number was in the 20s, and people show up to try out for the team. To the best of my knowledge, I don't think there was anyone that was signed off of that tryout. I know Tampa Bay did bring in a new quarterback guy who used to be the backup in Spokane last season. The guy's last name starts with a C, and if you think I'm going to try to pronounce it, you're crazy. Let's see here. The guy's last name is, one second.
It is.
I don't know if we added it yet. I think it only came across today. Oh, Brian Zibniewski. Zibniewski.
Zibniewski mouth.
So, 29 years old from Belhaven, and I have no clue what state Belhaven's in.
My God,
I got a 1 in 50 guess, right?
That is a you're right. Just looking at that, you're right. The way that, and he didn't play that much last year. These are his, ladies and gentlemen. These are his stats last year for the Arena Bowl winning Spokane Shock. Grand total of 5 for 12, 119 yards, 2 picks, 1 touchdown.
That's yeah, and he might be the best option Tampa Bay's got right now. It's very clear that if a quarterback has picked up a football in Dave Ewer's presence, he wants them gone. Now, I'm not so sure that doesn't include offensive coordinator John Kalea.
Well, they may be playing a lot better if Kalea was actually was their quarterback.
That's been a huge joke with us in the press box for a couple weeks now.
Now, you look at the other ones. We mentioned the other names before. For some reason, I don't know where this came from, and obviously, I mean, this is just Tampa Bay Storm fans or just arena football fans in general talking about on our message board. So, Tim Tebow. I'm like, excuse me? No. Yeah, I think actually somebody actually mentioned also, I mentioned 2 weeks in a row, and I just totally
asleep.
Yeah, thank you. So, I don't know. I mean, Tampa has to get better, right?
Look, there's good. The only good news here for Tampa Bay this week is that it's going up against a Philly team that has to be getting better at some point too, eventually, right? We have a bunch of question marks after.
I think it's also funny that for them going into this game, Philadelphia gets to finally raise their Arena Bowl banner from 2 years ago.
and team that's on the field, A, looks nothing like the old one, and B, it's a one-win team. I understand it was a four-game road trip. I understand that last game was a really tough one in the jungle. But, man, there's a point this team's got to kind of wake up and start to smell the roses here.
And it makes you wonder, with no injury report coming out, no other news coming out of Philadelphia, if there was an issue with Justin Allgood.
There absolutely was not an issue with Justin Allgood.
Okay.
Yeah, the issue with Justin Allgood was he completed under 50% of his passes in a half of football against Milwaukee and didn't score a touchdown.
It's funny because I was listening to the Predators broadcast on Nifty, and I guess either they don't know, or they really don't. Because I don't know how good the broadcasters are, you know, the play-by-play and the color guy for Orlando are. But they're like,
I can't even tell you who they are.
They're like, we didn't even know he was starting until game time. So, I said you didn't know. Well, maybe that's because there was no flip cards.
The only semblance of paperwork that we got for this game, I think we counted 6 or 7 errors on it. Did you know Marlon Moore is now a kicker for the Predators?
No way! Wow.
Yeah, he's kicking now.
So 3M is kicking.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay. Interesting.
But, the normal radio guy for the Predators was doing PA for this game, and you could tell he didn't have a flip card, because I don't think he announced one player on Philadelphia for the entire night.
Oh, my God. You would think that if you had access to anything, even game notes, now, not Orlando's game notes, but Philly's game notes, that you would at least have their players listed. Hell,
I didn't see Philly's game notes. I don't want to say they weren't there because I don't know. I never saw them.
Hell, use Arena Fan. At least we know our stats are somewhat up to date.
I keep trying to put that plug in there at the games. It just nobody buys into it.
Besides the quarterbacks, I mean, it's true. Unfortunately, these teams are going to need a quarterback in order to win. You look at teams like Jacksonville, Orlando. New Orleans is another situation where they're changing players left, right, and center, where you're going to need a flip card. Chicago, San Jose, Arizona, they have quarterbacks. You know,
It's not, the formula in this league is not hard, and it's really been the formula in this league for a long time. Have a good quarterback, and you're going to win games.
Yeah.
I mean, really, in the history of this league, how many quarterbacks would you say were not top 20-ish quarterbacks in the history of the league that won a championship? I can think of one off the top of my head.
I can think of one off the top of my head, too, and he's still playing.
The one I have is Kyle Manor.
Oh, okay. That was in the top 20?
No, one quarterback that was probably not one of the elite quarterbacks in NFL history.
Got it the opposite way around. Okay, you know, it's true. I mean, I think one quarterback that really has changed it around is, so much of being such a good fan that I am right now. let's look it up here real quickly. This is just absolutely, Brett Elliott. In Georgia.
Yes. Brett Elliott is having a phenomenal season. He's, I don't know whether he's got the best quarterback rating in the league, but he's probably got one of the best ones because I think he's got the best TD to INT ratio in the league. It's 22-2 without having the stats in front of me. I know he threw 7 touchdowns last week. Hell, I know he got 2 receivers that are on pace to have over 2,000 receiving yards this year. Maurice Purify is absolutely the real deal in this league. Let's see, the other receiver had over 200 yards. Has a box score. Yeah, Larry Shipp.
Yep, and you're good in your stats, too, by the way. He is 3rd in overall quarterback rating, according to ArenaFan, at 124.2. He has a 22-2 clip when it comes to TDs, interceptions. 1,500 yards, which, if I'm not mistaken, let's click the little icon.
Probably best in the league.
Was I reading Mark Grieve instead? I would think I was reading Mark Grieve instead. Elliott actually only has 1,136 yards. Sorry.
Okay. Last week between Purify and Chip, they had 20 catches for almost 350 yards and 5 scores. Mm-hmm. That's awfully damn impressive. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate for Elliott and it's even more so unfortunate for Dallas that neither of those teams could figure out a score in the last 7 minutes of that game. Actually, there wasn't until the game-winning touchdown with 11 seconds left. You had to go back 12 minutes to find the previous score in that game.
Oh, that's just bad.
Went almost 15 in Orlando without a score.
Yeah. So you got to be top notch. You know, Kyle Riley is, I think, finally he's rebounding. Rattering's doing okay in Kansas City. Grady, I think, has a lot better supporting cast this year.
He pretty much has to.
Yeah.
I mean, if nothing else, he doesn't have Sparky calling plays for him.
Yeah. And I think of all the quarterbacks, Kurt Rocco. I mean, who?
Look, I mean, first of all, it's 2 games. I'm not that excited yet.
Yeah.
We have to remember with Cleveland. Cleveland has played 3 games this year. Not 5 like San Jose and one other team that has 5 games already. You know, not 4 games, you know, 3 games this team has played. Only 2 of them have been with Rocco. So, you know, we'll see. If Cleveland's going to win the Arena Bowl, Cleveland is going to have to play 18 straight weeks to get the job done. That's going to be really, really, really hard.
That's true. Yeah.
So you want to talk about a team that should be suing the AFL for horrible scheduling. 18 straight weeks Cleveland is going to have to play to win the Arena Bowl.
We had that one. We had it last year. Wasn't that Orlando's case last year? Didn't they?
Probably.
I think they.
Yeah, Orlando. Orlando had the week 1 bye last year.
They had a week 1 bye last year, too. So.
Orlando played 18 straight weeks. I don't know if any team's ever played more than that in a row. I tend to doubt it. But it's possible.
Well, with the changeover to the 18-game schedule, including playoffs? Good question.
There's no doubt in my mind that somebody could break it now. Not if you're going to give them 2 byes.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to start stacking bye weeks on top of each other. Which, hey, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the hell they're thinking when they make up the schedule for this league.
I would have thought, and we mentioned this a couple weeks before, I was going to joke around at the beginning, and you would think that this would have been basically ground zero for teams because of teams having to move from their specific game dates because of what's starting tonight as we do the taping.
Yep.
And what is starting, I think this weekend. You had the NHL and the NBA playoffs, but I've been very surprised, Adam. You've had a minor change, one minor change in Cleveland. Okay, and that was because of the swamp lake monsters, whatever they're called, they were bumped by an AHL team, but it was only by an hour. And
it's only the first week of this. Philly got the Soul got awfully lucky in that the NHL decided to let the Flyers play. I believe it's Thursday and Saturday. Same thing with Pittsburgh. The Penguins just finished up game one about 20 minutes ago from when we're taping on Wednesday night, and game two was on Friday, not on Saturday. When we add the NBA in this mix, things are going to get awfully, awfully interesting. There's going to be a lot of venues to try to avoid.
I wouldn't be surprised. And that's it. The only other team, because obviously when you have the schedule come out for the NHL, I don't think it's really, now mind you, it's not as many teams as it was before in the past. You know, there is only one arena now in Philadelphia, so I think the Soul may be some more issues when it comes to that. But I'm wondering if it was because of television. And maybe for the first time, the NHL, the NFL Network actually may have had precedence.
I sincerely doubt it.
I know, but I'm just saying, because they could easily have done a back-to-back, and unless the NHL is getting away from doing back-to-back games, you know, even for the Boston-Montreal series, I know there's no teams, there's a two-day break in between.
Well, the NFL Network, starting in the beginning of May, could have some major issues on its hands because it's got a Friday night game in Orlando when the Magic very well could be playing, and then back-to-back. Well, first of all, NFL Network has a huge problem for back-to-back weeks after that because for some god unknown reason they're covering voodoo games in back-to-back weeks. But even then, the Hornets could be bumping the voodoo.
Mm-hmm. We'll find out. Once the schedule actually comes out for the NBA, at least for the first round, it's very possible we'll be seeing more teams getting bumped. The only other team that really got bumped in is something we have been talking about. We were not really sure. You and I should have had a pool, for when this game was going to be played. Was the game that, and please, fantasy players for Deluxe and for Pick'em and for the quick play at Arena Fan. Remember, if you are listening to this today on Thursday, we have a Thursday game this week, Adam. And as I said, we were not sure where this game was actually going to be placed. They moved the Dallas-Milwaukee contest to Thursday night.
And if you took all the fans out of Dallas and all the fans out of Milwaukee that gave a damn about this game, you still wouldn't get to 5,000.
But, you know, so I'm very surprised. Maybe once we start getting farther along into the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs and whatnot, it's very possible that we're going to get to see a lot more teams get bumped. But I don't know. I'm curious. I'm very curious because now, you know, they've been around. Some of these teams have been around for more than a year. Sure, they're getting dips. I mean, look what happened in Dallas. I'm getting bumped for a for sure sellout on a concert to be bumped back one night. But you know what? The cool thing about this, though, Adam, with the changeover, and this is something I'd really, really love to see. I know it can take an X amount of hours to do this. If anybody hasn't seen it already, it has to do with the changeover. And I love, you know, you've seen the video, Adam. I don't know if you've seen Andy Lipisak's video of the changeover in San Jose from last week's game. It's very cool. I love seeing the changeover, especially when they have 5 hours in between where they have to change over. That's what they're going to be doing in San Jose. Excuse me, in Cleveland after the hockey game on this week. That's so they're going to. I think it's really neat. It could be boring, but I think it's just the video itself, seeing the time lapse video of this type of stuff is really neat. Pittsburgh's put out one this week. I know Andy had one. If you haven't seen it, it's on, I think it's a thread on our message boards, but I guess I'm a sucker for that type of stuff. So I guess...
It doesn't have nothing to do with the game on the field, but I mean, I haven't been there when it's happened in Pittsburgh, but obviously I've been there when it's happened in Tampa Bay. It's a hell of a lot colder on that field when that ice is underneath the field.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. So,
until they get the ice out of there and the lightning are done, the storm are going to have that issue. And yeah, it does get wet down there too.
I don't know how many different layers do they put down. They can't. I know it goes ice, 2x4s, or not 2x4s.
It's ice and then boards and then field, and that's it.
God, not much padding to that.
No,
I would think.
No, there's not much padding on the field as it is.
Yeah, there's more padding on the boards.
There's definitely more padding on the boards, and that's not saying much either.
No, I know, but that's not the league mandated. I remember. Back when the Toronto Phantoms were in existence, that how thin the padding was. I remember the game back in '98 when I went to see a regular season game in Ottawa, Ottawa, Canada. That how little padding there was on the boards. So, but there's now more boards. I think it has to be at least 6 inches. I think, or more than that.
No idea.
I know the league mandate. I have to check, but. There was, it may be a positive sign, and we've been razzing on the storm a little bit here, and the quarterback situation, and yada yada. But very interesting news that came out of Tampa yesterday. There's been a change at the, up at the Storm HQ.
Yeah, the Storm have not had a team president all season. They haven't had a team president since. Jeff Vinnick and the Tampa Bay Lightning ownership bought out the team from the previous ownership group. And they took a very interesting road for naming that team president by bringing in Derek Brooks, who is arguably the most beloved figure, regardless of sports or otherwise, in Tampa Bay. So whether he really has the goods to be a team president, he's now also a part owner of the team. That remains to be seen, but it can't hurt in PR.
No, it can't. And obviously, I think they are trying to pull in more people into the seats. Teams have gone the route. I mean, we had it before. You know, look at Philadelphia, what they did with Jaws. I mean, Jaws is the mouth. He's the mouth of Philly. It can't help.
Yeah, I mean,
it can't help.
Yeah.
It can help.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland did it. Kansas City did it. Colorado did it. Columbus did it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely not unprecedented, but what let's put it this way. Even, Derek Brooks still doesn't play quarterback. I take him as my Jack linebacker all day long, but he doesn't play quarterback. So until the Storm find themselves somebody that can throw the football, they're in trouble. But, you know, if this is a good move that brings in, you know, another 1,000 fans to the game, more power to them.
Exactly. And it's all about filling the seats. And Lord knows, I think attendance is down. I will admit, I think attendance is down. But I think this is a plus for the Tampa Bay Storm organization. I think they're trying to get away from the somewhat major issue of what happened to former head coach Tim Markham. But I guess the only way that you can really do this and get the fans to forget is if you start winning. They need a quarterback.
Winning is the ultimate panacea, and there won't be a lot of it in Tampa Bay for the rest of this year. Unless something happens and either Grant Gregory becomes Joe Montana, or Joe Montana surfaces himself and decides he wants to play in this league.
Yeah, I don't.
For $400 a week.
Even with the shoes that Joe Montana's hawking. What is he hawking? Is he hawking Skechers?
I don't know.
I know Wayne Gretzky is too. He's hawking something, but I can't remember what it is. But it's a positive though. I mean. So something about, you know, I said hometown guys who used to play in the NFL, especially if you're a very big name, Yeah, you're gonna. I mean, look at it as an example. Look at Joshua Rue, the fullback, as we mentioned before in Pittsburgh. He's a former Pittsburgh player, not Steelers, but you know he's a hometown guy and they know of him. So it can help. It can help. It is. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. It's always something. I know we try to be as positive as possible about this league, yeah?
It's hard sometimes.
I know. And speaking of attendance, first of all, poor Kansas City. I understand, as I said, you mentioned it's week four, their first game. It has been almost 200 days since their first last home game in Kansas City, something like that.
More than that.
Was it more than that? It was like 300 plus or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's been almost two full years.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the number was, but Kansas City, they were like 7,000 below what they normally drew. And this is for basically a similar team record-wise, and they draw just over 5. Maybe things will pick up. I don't know what's happening in Jacksonville, though, either. That's flooring me. You know, this is a team that continuously drew over 10,000, and we've had very few 10,000 games this year, even with Iowa.
Yeah, attendance is just not good. I mean, the AFL has a lot of things going against it right now. First of all, the number of cities that there are AFL teams that also have basketball teams and hockey teams, most of which are doing relatively well this year, is going to take away from the spending money of the sports fans out there. And the economy in this country has really not been very stellar of late. Gas prices are as high as they have been. They're really about as high as they were when they really spiked a couple years ago. People don't want to travel as far. Parking is costing too much. It's not even so much ticket prices. It's all the ancillary fees. You know, this used to be a sport where you could go and you could park and buy tickets and buy dinner for $50 for a family of four. You can't do it for $150 anymore.
I know, yeah. Oh, just as a correction, I was totally way off. Kansas City played for the first time at home in 1,036 days.
Yep. Yeah, well, it's a shame, too, because the Sprint Center is supposedly one of the nicest places on the face of the earth, and they don't have a real team there. And I'm not just talking about an AFL team. I'm talking about, you know, they don't have a hockey team, they don't have a basketball team, they don't have anything.
Yeah.
So, but at the city of Kansas City, look, it's going to be hard to rally around this team this year unless all of a sudden there start to be some. They beat Arizona this week, then we might have a different story when they come back home again.
I'm very surprised they have such a nice arena, and yet they weren't able to draw back the Sacramento Kings. You know, with the Sacramento.
That's the NBA. I don't get into that mess.
Yeah, well, I mean, with Sacramento moving to Anaheim next year, so I guess they want to stay on the West Coast, somewhat. You know, they want to stay in California, anyways. But you know, speaking of attendance, you know, we've had issues with Tampa Bay seemingly padding their numbers. We know they don't. Seems they were really well. Maybe they were padding their numbers in Milwaukee also, but I think you're actually able to say that. I mean, it's the new arena in Orlando. It's not the old jungle, but what's your take on it? I mean, when it comes to fans, when it comes to
at the beginning of that game
and whatnot.
Yeah, the beginning of that game on Saturday night, I was looking around saying, "Wow, where'd everybody go?" But by the time, you know, everybody really settled in, there probably were 10,000 people at that game. So they announced the number just under 12,000. I would say that's probably remotely accurate by AFL, you know, especially in the state of Florida terms. It's still pretty damn loud in there. It's not as loud as it used to be. But it's definitely a home field advantage that is worth taking into consideration. You know, if this game is played in Philadelphia, the Soul will probably end up winning by 20 points. Orlando probably never gets up off the mat. You know, this was a game where the Predators were down 9 points and the ball twice. And Philly just was never able to quite step on the Predators' throat. I mean, Orlando only led this game for, what, 18 seconds? Something like that? But whatever, I guess they scored a touchdown right, you know, late in the fourth quarter. I think it was with 18 seconds left. That was the first time they won all game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really hard to do to this Orlando team. This is a pretty damn good team.
It's not that they're slouched in any way. They have a great quarterback. Look at their wide receiving core that they have. The only bad thing about the team this year is their horrible helmets.
Orlando's still a team that's got a lot of work to do. Nick Hill is not, I don't think he's there yet. I'm going to give him a lot more credit now than I was giving him last year because he's absolutely proven that he has the goods to do it in this league. I just don't think he's quite there yet. He kind of reminds me of Nick DeVille last year. Not quite there yet, but you could tell he's going to get there eventually.
And you weren't sure if it was the actual quarterback or if it actually was his wide receiving core or if it was a combination of the both.
Yeah, I will forever say this about the kid. He is one of the toughest SOBs in this league. He took a shot from Mike Brown on Saturday night. It was probably helmet to helmet. It was probably illegal. He was down for a solid minute or so before coming to his feet, missed one play, and was right back in there after that.
Wow.
So this is a kid that'll do anything and run through a brick wall for you, but I don't think he's quite there yet. Just like I don't think the Predators are quite there yet. But it was definitely a solid win they had on Saturday night.
And it's... You know, I said that we want to be able to see some good games, and that's what we're happy about. Just coming across the wire real quickly, Commissioner Kurz, Jerry, looks like, and it always seems to be very low key, and I guess this is just exactly what the league does when it comes to transparency. I know we mentioned that a few weeks back. But Commissioner Kurz has signed a contract extension until September of 2013. Interesting that it's September, right after the season ends in 2013. I don't know.
I don't know if you
look into it as much as that. I mean, because we're, you know, talk about when it comes to the contracts and stuff like that in the league, you know, one-year contracts, they go to the end of the season, supposedly. But as you and our illustrious leader, Joe Kaufman, witnessed in New Orleans... contracts usually don't mean anything.
Yeah. Look, the league needs a commissioner. You know, I mean, I don't know if I can say much more than that. I'll give this to good old Jerry. He probably is one of the only reasons this league is still functioning. Good for him. He's going to be around in a couple of years. Great. More power to him.
Yeah, exactly. Let me see. Wow. No, it wasn't one of those weeks where there's a lot of stuff on big news that came out of the league, but it was still a very, very positive league, a positive week. You know, we're talking specifically. Remember, we at Arena Fan are going to try to keep up with this as much as possible when it comes to stuff that breaks. Obviously, we are very, very close to a milestone watch in the Arena Football League, and obviously we're talking about Aaron Garcia. He is literally, and I don't think I always thought it might have been another quarterback if they continued playing. Maybe Clint Dozell may have gotten there, but for Garcia to be literally this close, Adam, to reaching 1,000 touchdowns passing in a career. No pro quarterback has done this. I think he's within 13 touchdowns. It's going to be one hell of a milestone.
Well, if he gets to
7 in this game, I'd be pretty shocked. I just don't think he's going to have the opportunity to be in there for that long to be able to do anything like that. Look, Aaron Garcia, we say it week in, week out. He's probably not the best quarterback this league's ever seen, but he's definitely in the top 5.
Yeah.
Even without a ring, I would feel comfortable in saying that. Is he going to be able to stay out of a wheelchair for long enough to be able to throw 13 more touchdown passes? I don't know. We'll see. I'm still worried every time he goes out there for a coin toss, he's going to break something.
Well, wait a minute. This is not the scrum, Adam, that they used to do in order to who kicked off the ball first in the XFL.
Well, look, the guy could toss a coin in the air and hit him in the head with the coin, and he could fall down and break his leg.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But you know it's a bad omen. I don't know if, and I know I'm totally getting way off topic here, and you may not have remembered this. I don't know how much you cared about the XFL, but do you remember the very first game that was on NBC?
Yep.
They go out for the guy, and he
broke his shoulder or something like that.
So, yeah. So, anyway, that's a totally off topic, but yeah. But since we're on it, we'll talk about it too. It's a Saturday game, but we'll continue about it. It's all coming down to the quarterback situation for Pittsburgh. You know, they're having another home game. Hopefully they'll draw another 10,000 or close to 10,000 in Pittsburgh on Saturday. But with the issues that they're having with the quarterback in Pittsburgh, I don't think. I wouldn't bet. I would say you get very close to betting the farm on Jacksonville to win this game.
Well, I never like to say that with road teams in this league. And Jacksonville, a couple weeks ago against Tampa Bay, in a very similar situation, really played lackluster ball for 27, 28 minutes or so. Anything can happen in this league. Look, we've seen some really crazy stuff happen. You know, we saw Sean King as a 24-point underdog come within a missed two-point conversion of beating San Jose on the road several years ago. Weird things can happen. It would be really weird for this one to happen, though.
Yeah. As you mentioned before, there is a game on Thursday this week, and it's the Milwaukee-Dallas a matchup. Dallas coming up, we could say it could be they were a road team, yes, but, you know, coming off the loss to Georgia. Milwaukee. Oh. Hey, if there's more than 5,000 people in the stands in Dallas, I'm sure that Milwaukee will be happy, considering what they're drawing at home. But I don't know. I don't know which way to go with this game. I really don't.
Well, Milwaukee has not won a road game. Dallas has not lost a home game. So it seems. Look, Derek Ross might score enough touchdowns on the ground to win this game. I think Dallas's defense is good enough to put Milwaukee down for long enough so Radabaugh can make, you know, at least enough plays to be able to figure out how to win this game.
Exactly. And on Friday, Arena Football Friday on the NFL Network, as we were mentioning a little bit, Tampa Bay at Philadelphia. Philadelphia will be raising their Arena Bowl 22 banner for the. Now, how do you think. Now, this is their first home game, too. We know they had a hell of a following in Philadelphia. If you were to say off the top of your head, how do you think they're going to. You think they're going to sell out this game?
No.
No?
No. No. AFL games don't sell out anymore.
10,000?
They just don't.
10,000 in Philly?
Oh, you ask me what they're going to announce, or you're going to ask me what's going to be there?
Announce.
I'd put the over-under at 10.
Okay. And I guess which quarterback will be under center for the Soul this week? That's another question. I guess we'll have to find out, you know, where.
Oh, it might also be a question who's going to be under center for Tampa Bay, but truth be told, I mean, look. Look, you could tie Ryan Vaina's left arm behind his back, and he's probably going to be a better quarterback than what we see out of Tampa Bay in this game.
Yeah. No, so maybe they'll do a one-game swap, and just an all-good could go under center for the Storm.
I will say this, though, about Tampa Bay. If this game stays in the 30s, the Storm can win. And with Tim McGill playing his first game for the Storm,
I could see the Tampa Bay defense doing something remarkable in this game. But the offense is going to have to do something remarkable, too. It's called scoring points in the second half. But then again, Philly in the second half these last 2 weeks has one touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to cut it.
Well, okay, you can't include last week, though. Remember, they had three. They had three by Donovan Morgan.
I'm sorry, they had 3 seconds. Yeah, right, that's right. Yeah, two of them came on fourth down, and one of them came on a ridiculous Hail Mary on fourth and 20, fourth and all the way to Disney World from there. Okay, so they've got three offensive touchdowns in their last two games. That's really scary, and that's Tampa Bay-esque scary. This is certainly not going to be a game that the NFL Network is thrilled that it is covering. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And I think you're mentioning how many points. See, I know in this week's, in Andy Lubichnak's Breaking It Down Week 5, he mentioned specifically something when it came to 55. I know we're not talking about Freedom 55 here, people. He said, looking at the league so far, when the winner has scored 55 or more, where the winner has scored 55 or more, Andy's sentence makes no sense whatsoever.
I'm sure it's when a team scores 55 or more points.
It's actually the first team to score 55 has won. Four times this year has a loser ever. What? He did not. Anyways, he's a good writer. I think he's meaning to say only four times this year has a loser. Has a loser reached 55 points.
Yeah, Utah did it last week. Yeah, the most points for a losing team this year is 57. Georgia did it. Kansas City did it. Spokane did 55, and Utah did 55 this past week.
Well, how many points did Pittsburgh score in week one?
Pittsburgh won in week one.
Pittsburgh
lost in week one. Pittsburgh scored 52.
Okay, there was 52. Okay.
Yeah. So it almost seems like a pretty dull statement that the first team that got to 55 would be winning games, considering the fact that there were only four teams losing to get to 55.
I know. And scoring is, I mean, I know we had done this infinitum over the past couple of years in keeping track, but scoring is down. I mean, I'm trying
to... Well, quarterback play is way down.
Yeah, I know.
The quarterbacks that were good last year suck this year.
I'm trying to find this here real quickly. Averages. Oh, crap. I'm trying to find it. Where is it? I'm not being able to find it. Anyways,
I mean, we've only seen one game get into the... two games get into the 130s this whole season.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you had games with over-unders in the 130s.
I know. I think San Jose was... San Jose's been on almost... Have they been in two of them?
Last 2 weeks. 130 against Utah and 45 against Iowa. Of course, we're not going to mention that San Jose-Utah game should have never gotten past 120, but that's
Yeah.
I'm sorry. San Jose, you cannot. And Kansas City is the exact same damn thing. When you have the football at the end of the game and you are leading, you cannot score touchdowns for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City needed to go forward 1 yard to end this game against Iowa. And a stupid idiot fullback, I don't even know who it was, but the idiot fullback runs 11 yards and gets in the end zone.
I know.
All you have to do is fall down at some point between the 10-yard line and the 1-yard line, and the game is over. Iowa had no timeouts left.
A lot of teams have done this year, and I know, and hence, you know, why you have started writing your time management after the 1 minute warning in the AFL book, you know, your dummies book. So
it just seems like common sense. You can end the game.
Yeah.
With a win. I thought that was the object in this game.
I thought it was. By the way, scoring is down 10 points. From the average, full average last year to right now, scoring is down by 10 points.
Yeah, I believe it. like, you know, I was one of these people at the beginning of the season who everybody's like, oh, yay, we're expanding, we have all these new teams. I still think it's bad for the league. I think this league would be a lot better if it had 8 teams in it. You know, you'd probably have 8 quarterbacks that were pretty damn good, and you'd probably have a lot more competitive football.
But I'm
sick and tired. I mean, look, the last thing I want to watch on Thursday night is Dan Radebaugh going against R.J. Archer. It's the last thing I want to see. It's going to be awful. It's going to be absolutely atrocious.
Dude, just call it. The best, you know, I think the only thing that's going to make that thing cool is just call R.J. by his real name.
Okay, I don't know what it is off the top of my head.
Rush!
Oh, yeah?
I think it's Rush. Yeah. I like that. Okay.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be cool if he played for the Rush? Anyways, that's stupid. Utah comes home. They've been having some very tough, tough road games. They are not doing very well at all. Unfortunately for them, this week, they got Spokane. And, you know, they're a lot better at the quarterback situation, but, ooh, possibly Utah may actually lose at home.
I don't know. Tough call. This is a tough, tough call. You know, has Spokane turned the corner? We don't know yet. Is Utah, you know, Utah's gotten spanked in 2 games that it really should have gotten spanked in, and it's dominated 2 games it should have dominated. So, yeah, this is a very, very interesting game for Utah. It's not often that I think games are must-wins, especially when you're talking about a team that has a better record than the team that it's playing against. Utah has to have this game. If Utah loses this game, it's probably never getting out of the gutter in the West Division again. So I think Utah is going to rise up in this game. We'll see. It would not surprise me if this is one of these, you know, 130-plus point games. But I tend to think Utah is going to find it in them this week.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be nice to keep the trend. I don't know. When it comes to Spokane, so, you know, we mentioned before, they lost 3 in a row. They now have 1. Sure, they had the bye week in between. How much momentum are they going to be? How much momentum are a lot of these teams going to have coming off the bye week? I don't know. For me, I'm looking at Spokane probably eking this one out. But, you know, I don't know. Anything happens. It depends on, I guess, which Ryle Crowley shows up in for Spokane this week, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Ryle Crowley, rather. We talked already about Pittsburgh, Jacksonville on Saturday. Great Southern Division matchup. Orlando, Georgia. Should be a very, very good game.
Well, this is where we're going to see if Georgia can really play or not. Georgia has really only played 1 team so far this season, and Jacksonville destroyed them. I know the game was only, I think it was a 14-point game. It was never really that close. And Elliott got ran from that game and had to get replaced. Might have gotten injured as well, but I know he did not play well in that game. Orlando is the better team in this game, and there's no doubt in my mind about that. And this is a place where the Predators typically play pretty well. You know, going back in the day, yeah, I know one of the last times they went there, they lost the conference championship game there. They have a lot of wins in between Phillips Arena and in Gwinnett. Predators are finding ways to do all of the little things to win games right now, which is not what they were able to do against Arizona, but they were able to come back and do it against Philadelphia.
Yeah.
A lot of momentum coming off of last week. This is a case where I think the bye, Georgia's not coming off a bye, but I think Orlando, you know, Georgia played a sloppy game down the stretch against Dallas, and against the Dallas team, it probably isn't all that great. Orlando beat a Philly team that I'm still convinced is pretty darn good, and they did it from behind. I think Orlando, even though it's going to have a very interesting travel schedule for this game, because the bus is leaving at 5 o'clock in the morning on game day, but if they can overcome that, they're going to win this game.
Yeah, and it's, I guess we can say, for once this is an actual, you know, they wanted to change it into another bus league. But yeah, it's the travel itself could be a huge, huge difference for the team itself. poor.
Yeah, you're talking about over a 10-hour bus ride.
Yeah. That's true.
So,
yeah. Poor New Orleans. So far winless on the year. And now they gotta go into undefeated Cleveland. You were mentioning, interception stuff. Wim Prine himself also has 8 interceptions on the year.
Well, the only good news in this game for New Orleans is the belief that anything could happen on any given day. This probably isn't going to be New Orleans day. I'm interested to see. To be honest with you, I'm interested to see what the line's going to be in this game. I don't know if the odds makers have the balls to put up a 20 yet or not. But it'd be damn hard to take New Orleans even in 20 points in this game. It's going to be a real rough game. Unless Kurt Rocco all of a sudden reverts into, Rocco the Wallaby. it's probably not going to be a really pretty showing here for the Voodoo.
Holy crap. Wait, did Kurt Rocco just morph into Michael Bishop? We're doomed!
Yeah.
They're doomed! Yeah, I feel bad. Kansas City, Arizona. Kansas City comes off, I could say, as a pretty, somewhat of a surprising win at home. Second home game in a row. Hopefully they can draw more than 5,000. But Arizona's coming into town. Arizona is one strong team.
This is an upset. At some point, Arizona's going to get knocked off. I still believe in Kansas City. I know there aren't many out there. I like the team playing from last week. Arizona's had a week to think about this. Remember, these teams don't play during these weeks. They don't practice. They don't do anything. I'm going to say Kansas City is going to be able to pull off the modest upset in this game.
Wow. Tulsa, we know what happened the last time that Tulsa played. They came up against a team that didn't have a quarterback. Thus, they were held them to 22 points. I don't know if it was the other way around, if you could say that the Power held themselves to 22 points, whatever it may have been. San Jose's coming to town. San Jose's been up and down, but I just do not, and I think San Jose was going into Tulsa, is finally running their AF2 gambit of the year, if I'm not mistaken. They're finishing all these AF2 teams off. I can see Greed going on a rampage again this week.
Yeah, unfortunately for Tulsa this week, they are playing a team that has a quarterback. San Jose really should take care of business in this one, and it's probably going to be pretty early. Yeah, this San Jose team these last couple weeks, 75 against Utah, 69 against Iowa, even though I know they lost that game. Yeah, the Rush shut them down pretty well. They scored 60 against Kansas City. They dropped 76 on Spokane. If they get anywhere, even remotely near the 60s, there's no way Tulsa's going to be able to keep up.
Yeah, I totally agree. Last game on the schedule for week number 6 in the 2011 season, Chicago, Iowa. Chicago coming off a bye week. Iowa coming off a very surprising win. To me, at least, I thought it was a surprising win.
Iowa lost last week.
Sorry.
At K-State.
That's right,
yeah.
It was at K-State. It was the other way around, sorry. Will Mikna be rusty in any way, or will this just be a normal Rust Mikna that we know of? What's going to become of Brad Banks?
That's the better question. are we going to see 11 TD Brad Banks, or are we going to see 4 turnover Brad Banks? It's been a while since Iowa's been to the barn. I mean, the Barnstormers, let's see, they played him in week 3, and if I'm not mistaken, that's their only home game of the year. So this is only Iowa's second home game. It's the team that beat Chicago up in the Windy City last year. What we have to remember about that game that they played against the Rush to start the season, John Gregory had no clue who his quarterback was going to be and decided not to start Ryan Vanna. From the point that he put Vanna in, the Barnstormers competed in that game. This is a bit of a rivalry. This is a game where Iowa come out with a chip on its shoulder. I don't know if you believe in, bulletin board material or any of that crap, but it's pretty clear Chicago's going to be the favorite in this game. I don't know if it's justified. I think Iowa is every bit as good as Chicago is this year.
I don't know how to look at this game. It's very possible that the crowd can come out in Iowa. It may make a huge difference because with the new barn only holding, I think, just over 10 over Wells Fargo, then it could make all difference for the Barnstormers. But we'll have to see. I mean, it's, you know what? We have a full docket of games, Adam. That's all that matters. We have games.
I know.
We have games. Oop. Thursday all the way to the end of Saturday night. A lot of games to keep up with on Nifty. I don't know what we're going to do. It's going to be tough.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got a week with no games to go to.
That's true.
The first time in a while. I mean, I've got two games I could choose from next week, but...
Yeah.
I've got nothing this week. I'm just going to be sitting at home like everybody else.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm glad there's actually a full docket back. It's this weird thing, and having only 8 teams playing or 4 games is just a little bit crazy. Really can't get an answer out of the league itself. But before we finish, I want to remind everybody there are multiple ways that you can contact us here at AFL Tonight or at Arena Fan. Obviously, you can do so at our Facebook page at facebook.com/arenafan. Twitter.com/arenafan. You can email me at tim.capper@arenafan.com. Adam@adam.markowitz@arenafan.com. And I know, Adam, you're going to sing, you're going to start rolling your eyes. But anyways, for any of you who went ahead and joined up at getglue.com, arenafan.com now has their own check-in page. All you have to do is join up, or if you already have, just do a search for Arena Fan and make sure you check into Arena Fan. And it doesn't mean much. Don't get any stickers, but at least you're supporting Arena Fan on Get Glue. So, yeah. Any last words, Adam, before we go?
Start working on your playoff beard. It is hockey playoff time.
Yeah, I can't grow a beard. Sucks. I look like something ratty. So,
oh, so do I, but I don't care. I'm still doing it for the 3 more games of Lightning you're going to be playing this year.
Nice.
Hey, I'll be there at game 4 on Wednesday night next week.
Hey, I know it's totally off topic. How much are they charging for tickets?
$130 is the best seats we could find.
Ow.
So, wow. Yeah. By best, I mean cheapest.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I mean, of course, we didn't end up getting tickets until actually in the middle of the broadcast. I got the text that we're going to the game.
Oh,
so I don't know how long those tickets have been on sale for.
Oh,
where?
Good point.
I have no clue where we're sitting. I just know we're getting in.
I would hope for the $130 seats to be halfway decent.
Hey, I sat on the ice for $130 in the regular season against Boston. So.
Okay, that's not bad.
We'll see. I have no idea what $130 is getting me in this game. Sure enough, but most likely the last Tampa Bay Lightning home game of the year.
It's possible. But anyway, that's the NHL. We'll finish up with the AFL. For everybody here at AFL Tonight and the AFL Tonight crew, for Adam Markowitz, I'm Tim Capper. Watch the rebound off the net.